Have you ever had a boss that didn't respect your time off? Calling, emailing, even demanding you stop in on your vacation. Today, we hear about a zealous boss who doesn't respect personal time in any way, shape, or form.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, office horror stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at officehorrorstories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That indeed it is. And we'd love to hear your office horror story. You can share it completely anonymously. All you got to do is go to our website at officehorrorstories.com and click that Tell Us Your Office Horror Stories button. It'd be greatly appreciated. It doesn't have to be the job you're currently in. Could be from a while back in the day, or whatever it may be. Or could be your current workplace. Just do it anonymously, and just, you know, it's cathartic. Let it all out. Or call in at 833-HATE-JOB. I'll even disguise your voice if you want me to. Just let me know at the beginning of the call so I can disguise it then before I air it. Tony and Sean, joining you once again. And yes, and how is your fine broadcast day going?
Do we have the voice disguiser on right now?
No, we don't, actually.
So I'd like to be
it's you.
Matt from Cleveland.
You have to do your own voice. You have to kind of feel Hendry it and change it yourself.
Because I mean, I'm at my current office place, and I'd like to bitch about my current office place.
Well, you can do that at your own risk if you'd like. I suppose it's Googleable.
Well, in that case, what another great day in radio. Glad to be a part of this, Tony. How are you?
Doing lovely. I'm doing lovely. I got an
interesting little gripe for you. It really doesn't involve the office place, but it does involve everybody's daily life. If you get a fraud or text alert. And this goes last week when we chatted, when you were bitching about Medicare or something medical, what have you, government.
Yeah, our healthcare system of having to go through healthcare.gov. Yeah.
Basically, it's something that is common sense, but is clearly not common for all. So you get a text or email of a credit card being used fraudulently, which sadly has become real day here in 2020. It's just something that you get and then you call, and then it's a very quick fix. Oh, thank you, Mr. Tony. Sean, we'll pop a card in the mail. You'll be good to go. Mm-hmm. So I didn't much care that they tried to drop $100 at Victoria's Secrets, which was kind of interesting. I thought to myself, Is that like God telling me Valentine's Day is coming up?
Someone stole your card. Something.
But in any event, I thought, well, somebody almost had a good day. So I got a call. And the bottom line is this. They were going to send another card out in 5 to 7 business days. Well, it just so happens in my situation that I am possibly moving. So I don't know if I will be at that present address in 7 business days. And the last thing I want is that credit card to get caught up in the post office holding and what have you. So I said, can you just overnight it? Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, absolutely, Mr. And I have a last name that apparently is just foreign to correctly pronounce customer service. Mm-hmm. So I said, just call me Sean. So as it was, they said, okay, great. And then you'll just see on your next statement, your expedited fee. Mm-hmm. They were going to charge me to overnight the card. Mm-hmm. A new card that the only reason I'm needing to get is because somebody fraudulently tried to use it.
Sure.
Should I be expected to pay an overnight charge?
Well, you look at it from all perspectives. I don't know the answer to that. And I think it really comes down to how much you process through their card as to how well they will treat you. If you look at it, they didn't lose the card, and not saying you lost the card, but somebody got the number some way, shape, or form. They weren't at fault for them getting the number. They didn't go through them to get that number. It was some transaction that you made somewhere where they got it. So I guess from a business perspective, you have to look at it going, we'll send it to you for free. We'll pay the regular postage if that's what you want, and we'll get it back out to you, and we'll cover the cost of the new card and all the internal stuff we have to do on our end. And we're also, because we are a credit card company, we'll have to possibly eat some of these charges here that were done fraudulently, especially if they did get the item that was purchased.
It was declined.
Okay. So they're taking on some liability there. And then they'll send you the card. If you want it overnight, well, yeah, then it's going to cost a little bit more, is kind of how they probably view it. I've gotten them to do it for free. Sometimes you got to kind of ask and then really ask, like, well, is there any way you could waive that fee? I'd really appreciate it. And I spend a lot. It's usually with a business card or something if I have that happen. And we spend a lot through the business for stuff. We're just keeping it up and running. So they kind of look at that account going, oh, okay, you spend enough through us. We'll do it, you know, as a, you know, to keep you in good graces type thing. So it really kind of depends, I think. I don't know. I mean, it's not a win-win for anybody. Everybody's, you and the card company are both the victims. So it's like the victim charging the victim. You know, I don't know. I get what you're saying, but I don't know if it's right or wrong.
Basically, it just comes down to poor timing to have a fraudulent text or email. Need a new card coinciding with a possible move.
Yeah.
And welcome to life.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those things where sometimes it's just kind of is what it is. And is it worth arguing over? It's worth bringing up saying, hey, is there any way we could just waive that fee? And a lot of times they're willing to waive a fee if it's not something egregious. But they take on a lot of those bad debts too. If people do get the purchase made, it doesn't always go back to the company, the getting, you know, dinged and sorry, you're out of your merchandise because you took a fraudulent card. It really depends on what it is and how it was done.
And so, basically what it comes down to on future shows, we will find out, was the charge charged or did Sean get the credit? Find out that and more coming up.
Everyone is hanging by their pants. Or hanging by a moment here with you.
Wait, you have to wear pants to listen to this?
No, it's really optional.
Or record it?
No, it's completely optional. 833-HEY-JOB is our phone number here at Office Horror Stories to share your office horror story with us. I would imagine that would be an office horror story right there. The individuals who refuse to wear pants at work. I know quite a few news people who that's how they you know, do their job because they're just behind the desk all day, especially on camera people. Not necessarily the reporters are on the street, but I knew a lot of anchors behind the desk that were wearing shorts or something that did not match the dress shirt and tie and jacket that they were wearing from the waist down. They weren't naked, but, you know. It was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Did you ever get a TV tour or have an internship? For example, I had an internship to finish out my college degree. And these are newsmen that you grow up watching. They're local icons. Everybody's got a, yeah. You see a weatherman in the grocery store and you're like, Bill,
yeah.
It's snowing. You said it was going to be sunny in 63. But you idolize these guys or mm-hmm. women. And you have an opportunity to see where they're wearing a sport coat, they're wearing a tie, they're wearing a shirt, and then they get up from behind the desk, you're at the studio, they're wearing shorts and flip-flops.
Yep.
Like, what?
Mind blown.
You're late-breaking newsman Mike Goucher.
My favorite was more the radio people because you never got to see them behind the mic. And it's pre-internet and everything. And when I got to meet some of those folks and started working with them, I remember there was one gentleman, and he's a really nice guy. I really don't have anything super bad. I don't have anything bad to say about him. He was one of my early bosses at one of the bigger stations that I went to. I had no idea what he looked like. And I'm sitting there in the waiting room waiting for him to come out to introduce himself to do a job interview. And comes out. And I'm expecting this kind of bigger, you know, kind of sharp looking dressed guy because on the air he's dun, 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 and his it was I don't want to say his name, but his middle thing, it was blank the man blank. And so it was very much, you know, manly man. And he comes out and he's this short little redheaded man. that kind of resembles like the Keebler elf to a certain extent. And he was, I mean, really nice guy, but it was just like, holy shit. Like, this is like, what an optical illusion. This has been all these years.
It is amazing people. And I would imagine consuming your voice every week.
Yeah.
They have a painted picture of what we look like. And then a simple Google image. It really,
yeah.
Really, I, Interesting.
I get both.
Also still not wearing pants.
I get both. I don't know. I get both where people will say, you look like how I pictured you. And I get, you look nothing like how I pictured you. I don't know. I don't know how to take that because I'll get it completely either way. It's never like, kind of. It's like one extreme or the other. So
there's no middle ground, which no. Also, when you get a new haircut or maybe you, I don't know, live in a northern climate and you go fake tanning. And based upon the person's response, you think to yourself, okay, wait a minute. Is that a compliment? Are they don't know proper vocabulary compliment mm-hmm. or are they, and then you overthink it. And then next thing you know, you talk about it on a podcast.
Exactly. Well, that's how everything works now. Everybody has a podcast. You know, a lot of them have three listeners. Luckily we have a few more than that, but there you go. 833 Hey Job. Let's get to our first letter of the day. It says this happened a while ago. It's quite long, so I'm going to be summarizing a ton. So a while ago, where I work, I got a new manager who, for one reason or another, did not like me at all and tried everything he could do to make me leave by quitting. I mean, he took my hours from semi-full-time to being literally only one shift per week, always on Sunday, so that I'd have to make an extra trip to town just to get my hours. Eventually, I asked him why my hours were so low, and he tells me, well, I don't make the schedule. I just post it up. You'd have to ask insert name here. And I just shrugged and accepted that answer. Shortly after, I'd start getting called in on my week-long vacations, and the reason was my manager was whining about shifts needing to be covered and having no one to call in. And a close friend of mine had enough and flat out told him, hey, why not call in me? He'll work. And just kept persisting and persisting until, in an annoyed tone, my manager was like, I guess I could call him in. Well, one of these days, the store owner was at the store and remembering the schedule issue. I brought it up with her, to which the owner was shocked at how little I was being given for hours. After that, I was given regular working hours again, and I think it was in part because my friend would just annoy my manager into calling me in, and also because I think the owner tore the manager a new butthole for abusing his employees. Soon, however, I was giving nothing but opening shifts, and our store opens at 6 a.m. The reason this is an issue is I had ADHD meds I take at 7 a.m. every day, and my manager knew this. He also knew what happens if I miss my meds, as he was informed of it by coworkers, so he was hoping I'd mess up and he could fire me. His plan failed, and he was transferred to a new store and replaced with a better manager. When my new manager went on vacation, she had the old manager come in and make a schedule, and he gave me a few shifts as he could, along with denying me a day off a request I needed for a doctor's appointment. I found out later that his 2 days back as my acting manager was his very last days working for our company, meaning he had no other reason to give me as few shifts as he did, aside from holding a grudge against me. Even that final flip of the bird from him failed, though, as my current manager saw the schedule after I sent her a picture of it, and she needed to adjust my hours since the acting manager was so focused on screwing me over, he neglected to consider certain shifts needing to be covered, and in the end, what was a 2-day work week became a normal work week again. So to summarize, the old manager tried to make me leave, failed spectacularly, tried to set me up for failure, again, failed spectacularly, and in a final attempt to screw me over, once again, failed spectacularly, and now no longer works for the company I'm associated with. Well, that's one where the person kind of got it, got what they had coming to them by the way that they were treating the employee. It's not always how it works out, though.
It's unfortunate when a person in a leadership position professionally needs to make up, from what it sounds like, some personal, maybe earlier in their lives, in high school, they were always picked last in the old game of dodgeball, or they didn't get to go to the prom with the really attractive girl. Then later in life, they get into, I'm not insinuating this is the case, mm-hmm. but sadly, power hungry, and then they identify with a similar bully earlier in life and say, hey, I'm going to make your life a living hell.
Mm-hmm. It's really a chicken shit move when companies do, or bosses or managers do that move of, well, I don't like you, but I don't want to go through the process of firing you or make it any red flags go up to HR that people are leaving or getting fired left and right from me. So I'm just going to make life hell, or I'm going to make life so just pointless of you being here and inefficient for you to come in that you'll just quit on your own. And I know there's a certain cost involved with that within a company of the changing over of people and things of that nature. So that's where they like to go more than anything else, especially for not having to worry about someone claiming unemployment. If you quit on your own, they can deny that a lot easier than if they said we fired you. So it's really it's a chicken shit move, but I think happens far more frequently than I think people are aware of, unless they're in the kind of high turnover situations. You ever been in a place like that where you just kind of felt like, you know, they really don't want me here and I truly don't want to be here, but I don't really have any other options right now, but they just kind of keep trying to nudge you to pull the trigger and quit?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that there, Tony. And well, earlier on in the show,
Bill from Ohio, have you ever had that happen to you?
When I said I might have to whisper at a few moments during this recording.
Uh-huh.
Short answer is yes.
Yeah.
And I concur with your chicken reference. It's just, here's the thing. Every industry is different. And listening to this, I mean, if you're a radiologist, if you're a nurse, I don't necessarily think that this situation happens to you much because, hello, you're saving lives. So if there's an asshole lead nurse practitioner, and I apologize the verbiage is I'm not getting it correct, but there is a definitive chain of command in the medical field. Mm-hmm. And if there's a situation, that's going to be rectified very quickly because, hello, your brain needs to be in it. You're saving lives. You're taking care of patients. You don't have time for that shit. Mm-hmm. But if you are in an industry where there's a little bit more gray area and you're not saving lives, sadly, this is you come into situations where a boss feels intimidated, a boss feels envious, a boss feels, I mean, so much, man. And, yeah. And specifically in the broadcasting world, it's not just radio, TV, entertainment biz. You can have a quote unquote boss.
Any place where egos are involved.
Thank you. And essentially, that's what you're getting paid to do, right? If we had no personality, if we had no creativity, we would have not gotten hired in the first place. So it's one of those situations where you bring somebody aboard. And you'd like to, I'm not a fan of the word assume, but you'd like to assume that you get hired for the 7 or 8 things you know how to do. And then you, upon being hired, you do them. And then you are essentially shunned. And you're like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's severance involved. And then it's a game of who's going to quit. It's a game of chess.
It is. Or it's a game of chicken. Really? I mean, it really is. It's like, we're both going to go up to the cliff and we're both going to be living in this hell for a while. Are you going to quit or am I going to have to fire you? You going to quit or am I going to have to fire you? And sometimes both go off the cliff simultaneously, inadvertently, when you do that game.
So basically it's a situation. Then you as the employee, you got to think to yourself, all right, aside from the paycheck, why am I working here? I mean, is this something to lead? If I'm an assistant to what have you, or I'm a lower level but a great company, do I just suck it up and do what I do,
mm-hmm,
and shine and then move up? Or if you got another gig and the only reason you're there is for the paycheck, I can assure you from experience, you know what? The short-term nightmare of, holy crap, how am I going to pay for my cell phone bill this month? Who the fuck cares? If you can get out and get into something comparable, I promise you, do it.
It's different though when you got kids. You know, obviously that's something. When you're in a single type situation, it is a different ball game. When you have the kids to worry about, and well, they need food, they're going to school. We don't want to disrupt that. It's not as easy, and I think a lot of companies know that. They know that fact, and they will use that to their advantage. They'll know that one employee who doesn't have any of that going on, they can treat certain ways over someone who doesn't have that going on. And it's almost like, well, you're not going to quit. You're going to put up with this, especially in situations where it's not so much we're reducing hours to make you miserable. It's more so you have a lot of good ideas, but we don't want to hear any of them because it will interrupt our status quo and we'll have to do more work on our end. A lot of it has to do with companies not, I think, wanting to do any sort of change. Even if it's needed or called for or should be going on, if it's working okay, not good, but if it's working okay, A lot of companies are fine with that. They're not necessarily seeking out how to go from 1.0 to 2.0 if things are going okay. And you may have somebody in there that could, you know, wrap it up to 3.0 with their ideas, but it would require a bit of extra work on the part of the decision makers and everyone else involved. And nobody really wants to do that in some atmospheres, you know, especially when you go into an environment where a lot of people have been there for a long time and you're the new one, and there's not usually a lot of new ones every year or at all. And if you're the one with the fresh ideas, a lot of times it's, I think the approach is, yeah, that sounds great, but no. And if you keep pushing those new ideas over and over and over, they will get to the point of, you know, we kind of got to find a reason to get rid of this guy because he's rocking the boat too much. Not that he's doing bad things or horrible things, but he's trying to make my life more difficult by making me do more work. And I don't like that. So I think it's almost a passive aggressive move of, I don't want to do more work. So we could either do more work and get better, or just get rid of this guy and stay status quo. And 9 times out of 10, when that's the attitude, they're going to go with, let's just stay status quo. That's what I learned anyway, towards my working career, because I was always trying to, you know, wrap it up. Let's do this better. Let's do that better. How can we improve things? And I know you're very similar. And I just got to the point where I was sick of being on the verge of being fired all the time, or people trying to find a reason to get rid of me for the ideas, that I eventually just said, you know what, at this job, fuck it. I will do what they tell me to do, and I'm not going to present a bunch of new ideas. I'm not going to try and rock the boat, even though the ideas that are being presented that they have are fairly mediocre, and I have 100 ways that we could do this better and more effectively, but I'm not going to go down the road of presenting them. And you know what? It turned out to be a much more peaceful existence for me. And I was at that job for almost 10 years. I was bored as shit most of the time. And the people I worked with were not bad or evil people. I ended up building businesses while I was there of my own, and it helped me launch myself out of there. But I didn't go down the path of how I had been the last 15 years of my career of, let's do this, let's do that, let's improve on this, let's improve on that. Even if they asked for the ideas and I had them, I just would kind of encourage what they had already going on, because I knew even if I did present the ideas, because I'd seen other people do it, it would get shot down, or the person would try and execute it and other people would not be on board. And it was just, you know what? Some places you just got to play to the crowd. And if your crowd is, we like status quo, you got to do status quo, you know, or you're going to be out of there. Not that you want to stay there and become one of those people, but if you want to survive and collect the paycheck, that's just kind of like, well, I guess we're going to have to do status quo right now. But then try and find it.
You were looking for the inspirational podcast. That yeah, that's the next one.
Over. Become status quo, bitches.
A very good form and a good trait that you may not be able to put on your resume, but smile and nod. Smile and nod if your name is not at the top left of the paycheck.
Yeah. Well, it's a neat thing right now with the world that we live in. If you have some motivation and you have a little bit of extra time and you have an interest, you can find ways of monetizing your interest or passion relatively easily. It takes time and it takes persistence and it takes some getting shot down and recognizing failures and trying again. But it can be done, I think, easier than it ever has been in our history. The platforms for people to monetize an interest or a passion outside of their traditional workplace exist. And it's either you do it or you don't. But it's another opportunity that exists beyond just, I have to go find a job and work for someone else. But it does take that time. And that's why I looked at it. I was like, I'm going to take this paycheck and this unfulfilling, mediocre workplace environment, and I'm going to take my extra time that I would have been focusing on stuff there, and I'm going to focus it over here onto my own thing. And I made a company that makes radio commercials and TV ads, and I started podcasting and all that. And then when I was able to cut those ties and say, okay, I'm done over here. Thank you guys for the 10 years of paychecks and all the extra time. I was just rearing to go creatively, and it was like, boom, I could just go out and do anything. And it was very refreshing. But that's my story. That's my road on it.
And it was kind of a perfect storm because what you were on a decade ago, you kind of did all the troubleshooting and all the due diligence of the streaming and the podcasting and what have you. So it when it exploded, you already had 5 to 7 years of experience.
Yeah.
When everybody else was dipping their toe in and holding the phone and recording themselves and saying, hey, look, this is a really fun video. No, it isn't. Yeah. It's just you and your four chins.
Sure.
Where you already fast forwarded of that content. So basically, you listening right now and wanting to punch yourself in the face more than you already do, and you're at that job that just isn't working, rather than trying to cram the gas pedal down harder down their corporate throat, just stay about 30. Don't become an employee who does nothing. Do your things. And then when you're out of work, focus all the time and energy and passion on whatever that is.
And it may be creating your own thing, or it may be finding a better job. But, you know, it's always, you know, I'm a big proponent of staying in the paid position until the next thing is ready to go, whether that be another job for somebody else where they will appreciate those skills, or getting your own thing strong enough to be able to pull the ripcord and say, I'm on my own now.
Rob a bank.
that's not advised or recommended, but I believe people have done that in the past.
Maybe sell low level narcotics.
Again, not advised or recommended, but I believe people have done that in the past. Doesn't usually end well in either of those cases, though. That's the important thing to be noted here. You may think it's going to be a lovely, you know, just, you know, wonderful life. Selling narcotics and robbing banks, but unfortunately, the way that they make it feel on in Hollywood and on great shows like Oz on HBO, it doesn't. It's not as all glamorous as it appears behind bars.
You know, the thing of it is, though, if you're thinking, well, I can't afford rent, I'm going to be homeless. I mean, if you rob the bank, you then have the money for rent, but you won't need it because you will be provided complimentary housing.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to think it all through. It all plays together.
You're going to have a roommate. You're going to have a lot of roommates.
Yeah. Some that may want to be more intimate than others too, than your own choosing. So
you're looking for a friends with benefits situation. Might not be friends, but there will be benefits. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to flip over the tape cassette to hear the rest of the story on that one.
833. Hey, job is our phone number. At office horror stories. Let's go to our next letter. It says, I don't complain much and let a ton slide. I've worked in retail. I've worked as a server and I currently work in billing. Basically, I'm familiar with how terrible people can be, so I try to be as kind as possible. Today, I went to exchange an item at an unnamed, very high-end retail store. I walked in and stood around for 10 minutes before being acknowledged. During that time, an employee made eye contact and then turned into the back room. This is not the first time I experienced this at a location of that particular store, so I wasn't too surprised. A man finally comes up to me and asks if I need help. I explained I needed to exchange the item, which was still in the box, with the receipt. He snatches the product out of my hand and starts examining it and photographing it while yelling at me, explaining it was damaged goods. He walked away, still holding my product, to speak to another customer and began berating me again. I tried explaining nicely I hadn't even used the product, and he continued to berate me. He placed the product down. I finally grabbed the product back from him. He told me to have a good day and said, this is why I like competitor brand better. And I walked out since it was the only quip I could think of, and I didn't want to look totally deflated. There were other employees and customers staring during this scene, and I felt so little, so embarrassed that I was just happy to get out of there. This purchase that will be returned anyway will likely be my last from this brand entirely. I returned it to a different location, and for the first time in my life, I ended up calling corporate on this man because of how he snatched the product out of my hand and how he berated me in front of all of those customers and employees. The amazing part is I still feel bad for calling corporate on him, but holy shit, he did not deserve to work in that high end of a store and treat people that way. Yeah, I understand where it's, what the hell are you doing? You ever had an incident in a store where it's like the person who's supposed to be there to help you is doing the exact opposite of such?
I worked with somebody that almost felt too good to be there, that they lowered themselves to a lower standard to be a part of our team. And let me tell you, you want to create some morale, a close-knit team, that would be a way not to do it.
So they were like, they were faking who they were. It was like kind of an improvisation of, I'm not really in this group, but I'm going to do what the cartoon version of it is.
It was a situation where there were just snide remarks, and obviously you can tell so much from someone in nonverbal body language. Mm-hmm. And there was a definitive vibe that this person didn't want to be there. And I mean, it was a good crew, and it wasn't then get out of here. You don't want to be here. It was more of a nurturing. Hey, why are you? But at any opportunity, this individual made it very clear that they were not necessarily better than the colleagues, but they were better than insert company name, and worked in far classier establishments.
Yeah, better than the position, essentially.
Essentially. And it then finally got to a point where he ended up going to back where he believed he belonged. And it was very talented, but it was a situation where the team as a whole was a lot better off because the toxic what have yous was no longer a part of the office place.
Sure. I mean, it's where you have someone who's overly qualified for a position, but they need a job and they get it. I mean, in some ways, kudos to them for not just saying, fuck it, I can't get a job. They took what they could get at that moment in time and then eventually found their way out. But you cannot have the attitude while you're in that job that I'm better than everybody else. I think a lot of people find themselves in that very position nowadays where everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people, you know, they went and got the super high college education. And in whatever area that they felt interested in, whether it be applicable truly to translating to a job that needs that. And now they have all of this debt and they can't find a job. And then they're back essentially trying to work the type of job that they could have gotten without all of the education. So it's frustrating as shit, I'm sure, to them, but it is definitely something that if you want to survive and, you know, you want to try and get along, no matter what situation you're in, you got to keep an ego in check and you have to be respectful to those you work with, whether it is in a call center or you're in a medical professional or whatever it may be. I get the frustration though, because there's, I think, a lot of that goes on. The reality is college was pushed as, for pretty much any of us, I think, who grew up in 80s, 90s, and into the early 2000s, at least probably still to a good extent today, as basically you go to college and you have to get all these degrees or you're a fucking loser. And that's really what I think a lot of us felt growing up. This is really kind of how it was, you know, presented. They didn't say fucking, but I think loser was kind of pushed out there. It was like, either you get that or you're going to be a garbage man. And they'd always present like the most or the least, the least glamorous of possible positions that could exist outside of a college degree. Not like, hey, you could go be a professional electrician and own your own business and make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year because you can make a lot hourly. And if you maybe take a couple business classes or just learn underneath somebody, being a tradesperson in something like that can be incredibly profitable. But those areas were very rarely talked about. It was college, 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 college. It's like, yeah, you know what? Now you got this gluttony of people who have their college degree and not enough positions for them. And they have a shitload of debt and you have unsatisfaction all across the fucking board because of that attitude. That's how I was taking it back then. I'm like, this is going to be a fucking train wreck in 20 years. And here we are. Because I can predict, yeah. I predict the future. But
I'm going to say, I appreciate you reliving my childhood, you motherfucker. God damn you.
Yeah. I never did college. I didn't. I was like, I love radio. I'm going to figure this shit out. I know it doesn't pay very good, but I'm going to figure out some other way at some point. to make more money at this than what I would be just talking between records. But I, that was kind of my attitude. I was like, there's nothing in college that's going to benefit me. I'm going to end up with a shitload of debt and in a career I'm not happy with. So I just, that's how I worked it. But it's really a shame because there's so many trades out there that you can make shitloads of money in that were just like, whoa, you don't want to be that guy. Really? Because they, you know, after just a short amount of training, are pocketing in $60 to $100 an hour, especially if it's their business. It's like, it's not rocket science to get to that point. It takes some work, takes some experience, but oftentimes there's less experience than 8 to 12 years of college and $200,000 invested that you get to pay off till you're dead.
What's very fun is going back to the overqualified is when you're looking to transition careers, maybe you got 10, 12 years of something and you want to go to another field because you are a driven individual, because you want to maximize whatever it is, opposed to just slowly dying at your work, that you apply for positions that you understand you got to get a foot in the door. If you're transitioning careers, you can't go from senior level in one career field to senior in another. And unfortunately, fresh out of college, no knock on them, but if there is a salary and you're at, $2 above minimum wage, so you ask for a similar salary, but there's somebody fresh out of college that'll take half that, you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not black and white, friends. The grayer, the more you know that it is a whole bunch of gray, you're going to be better off. Or you'll just work the system and maximize unemployment because you got let go for no reason of your own. And you got a hell of a lot of free time during your day to listen to us.
And isn't that great to Welcome. Listen to us? it's cathartic, you know, and that's, I think that's what this show is all about. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number, 833-HATE-JOB. And now,
overdramatic review.
All right, today's review, overdramatic review, is a motel. Here we go. If you're reading reviews of this motel, then this is not the place you should book. This place is for people who need a quick, cheap escape room or are desperate for any spot. If you're planning to read online, this is not for you. I often stayed at cheap places when I just needed somewhere to shower and sleep, and I don't need fluffy towels or extra amenities. The outdoors look completely reasonable and trimmed. I never stayed at a place so inept and lacking in basic accommodations and service, and yet still daring to ask people to stay. I recommend not staying anywhere in this area, but if you have any options at all, do not pick this one. First, the room. Bedside lights don't work. Knob missing from the closet door. But okay, seeming otherwise. Then we hear the beeping. There's at least one, if not two, smoke detectors with bad batteries chirping away. Though we can't tell exactly which rooms, we open the adjoining doors to hear better, and a roach comes out. But it's only when I go to take a shower and find the sink had not been cleaned and the hot water faucet not connected and usable. I finally call and ask to be moved to a new room. Second room. Faint, but present weed smell. Bedside lights missing, light bulbs entirely. But the AC isn't working, or rather, it's working, but the fan is broken, so there's no point. I call down again and the handyman security comes to investigate and reveals he doesn't even have a Phillips screwdriver to fix anything. We ask for another room, knowing our odds are quickly running out, but get told there aren't any more single bedrooms. I say I don't care if there are two beds, I just need a basic, functional room, and am promptly told they have other rooms, but will have to pay $4 additional for the privilege of having a room that is working the way that it was promised. I sympathize with people who work holiday weekends in places that obviously have no managed care, but I can only be so accepting at this audacity. I simply said to refund me the room, and after 90 minutes trying to work with this place, got a decent room at another hotel. I've genuinely never seen so much be so wrong with so little regard to guests before. Better to let this place rot and shut down. Do not reserve here.
Overdramatic review.
That was like a lovely place to stay. Take the family, take the kids for a nice little vacation.
As the review continued, it was getting more and more dramatic.
Yeah. I've attempted to stay at places like that, and I think it ended a very similar way. You eventually just have to say, I give up. I'd like my money back, please. And maybe they will, maybe they won't. That's why you can always call the credit card company and fight with them. But yeah, good times. Good times there. Yeah, I think that's going to wrap up today's episode of Office Horror Stories. If you like the program, give us a review out there on Apple Podcasts and shoot me a screenshot of it. Send it to Tony at officehorrorstories.com. You'll be in the drawing to be the employee of the month. Pick a new one every month and give out a $100 gift card, and you get the pointless title of employee of the month, just like a real workplace. So check it out. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories.